Yesterday we celebrated the great solemnity of the Most Blessed Trinity, which is too big and too great a feast to simply forget about the next day. So since that's what we were celebrating yesterday, I'd like to start there as a way of giving us a perspective into these readings of today and today's saint. So yesterday, the Trinity. Now the Trinity, I know people will sometimes back off from it because it's a mystery and we can't figure it out. How can there be three in one? But once you get past that sort of reaction, you can see how wonderful it is that everything that exists is based on this communion of love, this dynamic of giving and receiving. That's what reality is all about. Giving and receiving and relationship. That's the foundation of everything that is. Which means whenever we slip into the idea that we're alone or that we're absolutely autonomous or that we have absolute possession of anything, including ourselves, well then we're somehow not in touch with reality. Because reality is based on the relationship of love, the perfect eternal relationship of love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A community of love, a communion in which there is this constant giving and receiving. It's never just all receiving or all taking or all owning. Part of receiving is giving. That's the way it is. So whenever, as I say, whenever we're not in touch with that, we're somehow not in touch with reality. Or if there's ever a time when we are rejecting reality, any part of reality, and sometimes it is hard to accept reality, it's painful and challenging. But whenever we're not accepting reality, we're somehow opposing God Himself. Okay, so that's where we are in a world built on love, and we ourselves who are created in the image of God are made to be loved and to love and to have relationships of love. Now, in light of that, I was thinking about today's saint, Saint Boniface. He is known as the Apostle of Germany. He's not a German, he is an Englishman. He was an English Benedictine monk. He was sent to Germany. It's back in the 8th century. So now the church had some roots there already. There were some Christians there, but it was basically a mess. And so he was sent to evangelize and also to re-evangelize. And he was very, very effective until he ran into opponents who had him killed. They said there was a massacre. Well, here's an Englishman who's apostle to the Germans. In Ireland, there was an Englishman who was an apostle to Ireland, that's St. Patrick. Then there's the apostle to England, who was a Roman, remember, Augustine. Augustine of Canterbury was not an Englishman. So we have this dynamic whereby people from one place are sent to somewhere else to extend the gift that they have received. That's actually natural to the faith. It's natural to give what we have received. It's part of this being made in the image and likeness of God, to receive and give, to receive and give. And if we're not doing that, well, then we're somehow not cooperating with God. Doesn't mean we have to go to another country, but you see why that happens so often, because it's part of how God made us. So that's a little bit about Boniface. Now, Boniface, one of the famous stories, I don't think it's just a legend. I think it's based on a true event where he said he came to a place where they were worshiping a god associated with a tree, a sacred oak tree. I don't remember the details, but there's the sacred oak tree, and Boniface comes along and says, "Well, that's not the true religion. That's not the true God. I'm going to cut down this tree." And so the people gathered to watch him get struck by lightning or something, because if you cut down the sacred tree, well, then the God to whom that tree belongs will certainly punish you. Well, so Boniface cut down the tree and nothing happened. Then they realized, oh, well, Boniface's God must be stronger than whatever God was associated with the sacred oak tree, and he used the tree to build a little chapel in honor of Jesus Christ. So he was giving, he took the risk of losing by giving, and that, in that case, bore great fruit, led people to the true faith. In today's gospel, Jesus tells a parable to the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, so to the authorities in the temple area. Remember, last week, they were asking Jesus, where did you get the authority to drive out the money changers and the vendors from the temple? Where did you get the authority? And Jesus said, well, if you're going to talk about authority, let's talk about the authority of John's baptism, and then they wouldn't discuss it. Remember, that was last Saturday. So here's the same authorities. Jesus is realizing these people are hard to convince. So he tells them this parable of the vineyard and the tenant farmers. Now to us, the tenant farmers are wicked men. It's obvious. They're arrogant and selfish and violent and evil people. So it's quite a parable to direct to the chief priests and the scribes, and they knew it was about them. It says it at the end. They realized that the parable was addressed to them. Jesus was saying, you're like these wicked tenants. Maybe might make you think of so many stories in the news where a landowner is trying to use his property, and there are people on the land, squatters or people who have been using the property for whatever. When I first came to the Philippines, this was constantly in the news. The relocation of people who were not living on land that was their own, or there were disputes about who owned the land and who was allowed to live there and what people could do. And some of those stories were wicked landowner, you know, some big rich guy, no sympathy for the poor, and he just drives people away into homelessness. And then on the other side, there were some stories where there was every effort to provide for the people who were not on their own property, and they were just violently opposing anybody who came along and to tell them otherwise, so all these things. Now, I mention those examples because those are, on the human level, disputes about who has ownership of the property. In the parable, it's very clear that the owner of the vineyard did everything to make it possible for the tenants to have a livelihood. So there's no injustice here on the side of the landowner. Sometimes in the cases I mentioned that in the news, landowners can be unjust and arrogant, and they can violate people's rights and things like that. That's why we need courts and legal procedures to figure out the just solutions. But in this case, the landowner is absolutely in the right. He has a right to some of the produce. Well, then what in the world is in the mind of these tenants? Well, this is the problem. They shift from, in their own minds, they shift from being tenants, meaning being recipients, being participants, to being owners. And that's the very thing that I mentioned is a rejection of reality. That's like saying, there's no Trinity, there's no God, I'm God. It's like that. Or if there's a God, he can't tell me what to do. Or if there's a God, he doesn't have anything to do with my life. I'm in charge of my own life. That's the mentality. And when I put it that way, you see how common it is. Not that everybody would say there's no God, but a lot of people would say, even if there is a God, he shouldn't interfere with my plans. And that's the mindset of these tenants. So they're taking an unjust position or attitude toward themselves, absolute autonomy, absolute ownership, absolute freedom, which is not reality. We are not absolute. Only God is absolute. That's what we celebrated yesterday. He's absolute love. He's absolute self-gift. So they, with this attitude that this vineyard is ours, they can say, well, no one has a right to take from me what belongs to me. I live here, I work here, I'm the one who produced the fruit, this is mine, get out of the way. Well, that's not that hard to imagine. I mean, when we first read the parable, we see how bad they are. But when you take on that mindset, or you could call it an ideology, you can see how it's not that hard to imagine that way of thinking, because that is how we justify ourselves. This is mine, I've worked hard for it, that person doesn't have any right to it, and get out of my way. I'm in charge here. And they think that after killing or beating a few of the servants, they're actually justified. It's working. In fact, they're making it worse and worse for themselves. Because the further they dig into that idea that they're absolute owners, the more they cut themselves off from the reality of their situation. They are tenant farmers. They do have a right to some of the produce. They do have a right to a just wage. They do have a right to be there. They were hired to be there. So it's not as if they don't have any case. They have a good case. It's just not an absolute case. And this is where we are. We have rights and responsibilities. Yes, we have possessions. And we have a certain amount of freedom to determine what we do with what we have, what little we have. It's just not absolute. We have received everything we have. We have received. We're recipients. Okay, we know how the parable goes. In the end, they are put to death and the vineyard is given to others. The great reversal that eventually always takes place. Reality cannot be rejected forever. Truth cannot be hidden or distorted forever. It always wins, eventually. So the right, the chief priests and the scribes are supposed to realize, okay, let's not pretend or act as if we're the top authority here. We belong to God. We're servants of God. Something similar here in the first reading, we're beginning to read from the great Old Testament book of Tobit. This is a great story. I hope you get a chance to read it this week. We'll be reading selections of it in the first reading this week, but not all of it. So if you want to really get the story, take a little time and read the book of Tobit. Well, in the beginning, Tobit is a very righteous man. In fact, he's too righteous. He thinks too highly of himself. If you can see how it starts, I have walked all the days of my life on the paths of truth and righteousness. Okay, I'm really a great guy. That's how he starts out his book. And you can see he's on the verge of absolutizing his goodness, as if he made himself good, as if he's the standard by which he should judge himself. Now that's the danger. And we know, as the story goes on, he's going to be humbled. But in this reading, we see, first of all, his goodness. So there's something to it. He's in exile, first of all. He and the Jews are in exile. They're in Nineveh. They're away from the promised land. They've been driven out, so they know that they're not the owners of the place where they are. They have already been uprooted, and they're something like tenants in Assyria. And he knows that being in a situation of exile, he should care for his countrymen, his kinsmen, who are poor. He knows that, which is a right way of thinking. So he sits down at a banquet and he says, what am I doing eating this banquet all by myself? I should share this with the poor. And that's right intention, right decision. It's a way of recognizing he's not the absolute owner of everything he has. He's a rich man, quite rich, but that doesn't make him absolute. So he sends his son out to look for the poor. The son discovers somebody who's been murdered, and Tobit springs into action and says, I can't let one of our kinsmen be abandoned in the street. I'm going to bury him, which was illegal. And in the passages that we skip over, he had been arrested for that very thing. And that's why he's taking a risk to do what's right. Now, this is part of being in reality, where we are recipients and responsibility, and we have a responsibility to give. there's always a risk that other people won't like what we receive or what we give or what is right. But our standard is not what other people think or the judgments of governments. The standard is the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are absolute in their gift of themselves and absolute in their receiving of one another. It's a very high standard. It's divine life. But Tobit has a sense of it. You don't just let people, you don't abandon people to die, to rot in the street. You bury them, give them a decent burial. Okay, I'm trying to just show how our belief our in the revealed truth about the Trinity gives us light into everything that we do and everything that we have, everything that we give and receive, whether it's our place as tenant farmers in the world, whether it's our relative possession of things or our relative responsibility, or whether it's our understanding ourselves in exile in this world, because this is not our homeland, and we have responsibilities to one another while we're here. It's all based on God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So with awareness of this communion of love, this great explosion of love that is the basis of everything, we march through time trying to respond as best we can with love for love, receiving love, giving love, living in love.